For chapter number 4, and the Bible says in verse number 1, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, You have nothing to do with us to build the house, build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in the building." And verse 5 says, "And they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose." And so tonight I want to preach to you on the subject there in verse number 5, where the Bible says that they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. You know, you'll find tonight that the enemies of Judah and the enemies of Benjamin were people who had been relocated in the kingdom when Assyria had conquered Israel in an attempt to infiltrate and to destruct the project of the rebuilding of the temple. They tried to pull a fast one on them here. They said, "We're going to join you. We'll build with you. We seek your God." And so here they're trying to infiltrate this thing so that they can disrupt this project of the work of God. These people offered to help the Jews to rebuild the temple. But what they wanted to do tonight is they wanted to keep a close eye on what the Jews were doing. They were hoping that Jerusalem would keep Jerusalem from becoming a strong nation once again. You'll find that the Jews, however, here in the text in verse number 5, they said, "We don't need you." They saw right through that ploy of the enemy. And can I remind you, church, tonight that any time we partner with unbelievers, it's always going to cause you to compromise your faith. Amen. And those of us that are saved can always expect opposition when we begin to do the work of God. Yeah, amen. When you get in this thing, these goofball preachers that say, "Well, bless God, if you get in church and you get born again and you get in church and it's going to be prosperity and it's going to be all peaches and cream tonight." Can I remind you, it's just the opposite of that. There's always going to be opposition. And unbelievers and spiritual forces of darkness are always going to be working against God's people and the people of God. Amen. But you know what we need to do tonight? We need to move ahead with the work of God and the work that God has for us. And we ought to trust Him, amen, and show to this ungodly world that we live in that we have some obstacles, yes, but we can overcome it. But you know, they want us to, stop this work by frustrating, the Bible says, the purpose. Then verse 5 of chapter 4, the Bible says they did it to frustrate their purpose. The Jews' purpose was to rebuild the temple, but the enemy came in to disrupt that project. Now, I believe with all my heart tonight we're living in the last days. You say, "Brother Brian, what has to take place before Jesus comes back?" I'll tell you what has to take place. The only thing that has to take place is the trumpet sound. Amen? I mean, that's the only thing, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. But in these last days that we live in, there are a lot of things that frustrate me. And I see tonight that there's people in the house of God, they're frustrated with the work of God. They just go through life frustrated tonight. And that's the devil's attack on the people of God. Because if he can frustrate you, he can keep you from doing what God wants you to do. You say, what frustrates you, Brother Brian? I'll tell you one thing that frustrates me tonight is politics. Amen. Politics frustrate me. They said, hey, listen, I'm so glad that November the 8th is over. Amen. I know it's been almost 2 years since the presidential elections, but I'm glad it's over. Amen. Because I was just frustrated all the time at all the politics. And now we're here at the midterms. And just frustration and people blaming this party and people blaming that party. And, you know, they said it was so quiet on November the 9th of 2016 there in that Hillary campaign that you could almost hear an email being deleted. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Politics, they frustrate me. I'll tell you what else frustrates me tonight is religion.
Right.
Religion frustrates me. I'm glad, amen, when I walked in Bible Baptist Church on Sunday morning of May the 7th of 1995, that Brother Mark Wesley, that Choctaw Indian, stood up there and he preached that Jesus Christ died for my sins, amen, and that he went all the way to the cross of Calvary for me, and he shed his blood for me, and he was buried, amen, but on the third day he rose again. I'm thankful, amen. He didn't preach religion to me, but he preached Jesus. Amen. One man said it like this: religion is man reaching up to God. Salvation is God reaching down to man. Religion frustrates me. Religion sends people to hell without God. Religion says just do a little bit better. Religion says get baptized. Religion says go to church and join a church. Religion says pray a prayer. Amen. Oh, but listen, I'm thankful tonight that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he didn't say you got to do more. You got to go a little further. Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. He went all the way and he finished the work that needed to be done. And all I've got to do is bow my knee, and I'm thankful I did. Amen. Some 20-something years ago, and I said yes to Jesus Christ and I got born again. I got saved by the grace of God. Hey, I'm just saying to you, religion frustrates me. You know what else frustrates me tonight? People falling out on God frustrates me. Amen. I get frustrated. People that we invest in, people that we pray for. Amen, people. Man, I tell you, God's people have been good to them. And you go to their house and you pray with them and you invite them over for dinner and supper. And you just invest your time and your money into them. And you get them in church and you have so much poured into their life. And then they walk out on God and they leave the church. And it just frustrates me. Amen, frustrates me. People falling out on God. Amen. Forgetting what God did for them. Forgetting how good God's been to them. Amen. Forgetting how faithful the Lord's been. And forgetting about His mercies of being new every morning. And forgetting about His abundance of grace. Amen. Oh, that amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, I'm just saying, people falling out on God, it frustrates me tonight. I'll tell you what else frustrates me. People abandoning this King James Bible. Amen. People that say they believe the Bible, but they don't believe it. Amen. They'll put a penknife to it. Amen. People that claim that they believe this book and they just turn their back on it and throw it out, get another version. I'm thankful tonight that I still stand behind the pulpit in a church that still believes the King James Bible is the Word of God. It's not just the best translation. It's just not the most accurate translation. It's not just the most beautiful translation tonight. It is the words of the living God tonight. And I'm frustrated with people, amen, throwing out the Bible and getting other versions of the Word of God. I'm frustrated with it. Amen. People that know better. Amen. This book, it's been, the men have tried to ban it, burn it, and bury it, but it's still just, amen, it marches on. Amen. Thankful this Bible tonight. Compromisers, they frustrate me tonight. Amen. People that used to have standards. Amen. People that used to have dress standards and music standards and people that wanted to live clean and holy, not to get them saved, because you can live as clean as a hound's tooth, amen, and still die and go to hell. Yeah. Hell's full of good old boys. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven, but I'm talking about people that have been saved by the grace of God, and they know it's by the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, and God has shown them the truth, and God's given them the light, and God's given them some men to show them how to live clean and how to walk right and how to spit white, amen, and then they go off and they have fallen in love with this world that the Lord Jesus Christ saved them out of. Amen. Compromisers, they frustrate me. Compromising their faith and compromising their standards this morning, tonight. And I say this morning, we got a purpose. Tonight our purpose is to bring glory to God and to build the house of God, the house that God's given us to build. We got a house here tonight. Amen. God's put you right here to build this church. Amen. To build your life and your the Bible talks about how you are the temple of God. Amen. You're to build your life upon the things of God. Now I understand that it's God that builds the house, but just like right here in our text, amen, He uses you and I to do it. He used them to do it, to rebuild that temple. And the enemy came in, and you know what he did? He frustrated their purpose. You know what their purpose was? Look at chapter 1, verse 3. This was their purpose tonight. The Bible says, who is there among all of His people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Now the enemy here in chapter number 4 has come to frustrate their purpose. The same thing is happening tonight. The enemy is frustrating the purpose of God's people. You see, the devil doesn't have to kill us tonight to keep us from our purpose. He just simply has to frustrate the people of God. Just frustrate them. Now, what does the word frustrate mean? If you look it up in the 1828 dictionary, that word frustrate is described as to disrupt, or to disappoint, or to make ineffective. You know what the devil's trying to do tonight? He's trying to disrupt you. Oh, yeah. He is trying to disappoint you. Yeah. He's trying tonight to make you ineffective for God. Because he can't take you to hell if you're saved by the grace of God. He cannot get your soul, but what he can do is frustrate you and get you sidetracked and become ineffective, and therefore, you know what happens? Nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. That word disappoint. You know what that word disappoint means? It's this way. It's when your expectation is up here and your reality is down here. Expectation and reality, when they do not meet up, frustration sets in. Frustration, it's the difference between expectation and your actual experience. It's the difference between what we're expecting to happen and what really happens. It's how life really turns out. You are expecting things to be a little bit different than what it was. It's the difference between how we expect to serve the Lord and how we really serve the Lord. It's the difference between how we expected the church to grow and how the church really grows. It's the difference between how you expected your marriage to be, but then how your marriage really is. It's the difference between what you expected the doctor to say, but what the doctor really said when you walked out of the hospital room. It's the difference between how you expected your children to be and how your children really turned out. You see, frustration is the tool of the devil, and it's the great weapon against the church, because the devil tonight, he wants to stop the building of the house of God, and he does it by filling our pews and our pulpits with frustrated people and frustrated preachers. That's why Sunday school teachers quit. It's why missionaries come home off the field. It's why marriages fall apart. It's why you quit your job without notice, because you're frustrated. It's why you make a sudden decision just to leave the church and say, you know what? I'm through. I'm tired of all God's people. I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of serving God and trying to do right. Because the more I try to do right, the more it seems like my life is turned upside down. Because your expectation is up here, but your reality's down here. And the devil gets the victory because frustration sets in. I don't have all the answers tonight. I don't even know most of the questions. But I say that there's three types of frustrated people in this building tonight. Number one, there are those that are frustrated with themselves. You're frustrated with yourself tonight. You sat there in that pew. When you got saved by the grace of God, you thought you'd never fail the Lord. I mean, you thought, amen, that you'd read your Bible. You thought you'd pray. You thought you'd, amen. I mean, you got saved. And bless God, nobody could knock you down. Nobody could knock you out. Nobody could discourage you. Because you were by the grace of God, you got saved, amen. And God put something down inside you and gave you some hope and gave you some life and gave you, amen, something that you never dreamed you'd have. But then I tell you what happened. You didn't exactly live the Christian in life like you thought you would. Married the right person, you thought, man, I'm going to marry the right person, but you didn't. Amen. Didn't make all the right decisions, and now you find yourself in the depths of frustration because you've done exactly what you set out not to do. You're frustrated with yourself tonight. But then there's the second kind of frustrated person. And there are those that are frustrated not only with themselves, but they're frustrated with their relationships. I mean, they expected that the person that they married would be a perfect mate. That they found out, amen, that their mate had some flaws in many of them, just like you have. Bliss turned into hard work. Delight turned into demands. Perfection turned into problems. They expected that there would never be a crossword, but the words came so quickly and so unexpectedly tonight. They expected that there would never be any disagreements, but now they think that some things can never be resolved and some things can never be fixed in their relationship tonight. And oh, can I stop here and say, I've seen in the church of God more marriages falling apart in the past 5 years than I ever dreamed would fall apart. Oh, you better guard your relationship tonight, because the devil is doing everything he can to frustrate you when it comes to your relationship. Then there are those that are frustrated with their church. Because when they joined the church, they expected that church to be perfect. Amen. They expected the members to be perfect. They expected the preacher to be perfect. Amen. But can I stop right here and say tonight that that church does not exist? You know why that perfect church does not exist tonight? Because you are a member of that church. Amen. And where you're a member and where I'm a member, we've all got problems. We all got faults. We all got failures. We all got, amen, imperfections tonight. And I'm just saying tonight, that church does not exist. Amen. You're not perfect and I'm not perfect. But I say this tonight. I've been to quite a few churches around the country. You're in a pretty dang good one here tonight. Amen. That's just putting it real blunt. You're in a good church tonight. You say, I live in Port Talis. Where am I supposed to go to church? The one you're sitting in right here tonight, that's where you're supposed to be. You say, how many times a week do I need to come? Every time the doors are open. Every time the doors are open. Because the service you miss is the service God might have been wanting to talk to you. Amen. And you wonder why you're frustrated. Amen. Those that are frustrated with their church. Look what happens when they let frustration take over. Look at chapter 4, verse number 24. The Bible says, now this is what happened. In verse 5, they frustrated their purpose. And look what happened. Then ceased the work of God, of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. The Bible says, so it ceased. You know what happens, amen, whenever frustration sets in? The work of God ceases. It will not go forward. It cannot be built. There will not be any victory. There will not be any joy. There will not be soul saved tonight if the work of God ceases. So how do we eliminate frustration once it comes? Because guess what? It's going to come. Amen. I wish I could stand up here tonight and tell you that if you get in church and you start serving God, that there's never going to be any frustrations. But it's just the opposite. There are going to be frustrations because it's going to come. Every one of us tonight is just one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down. I mean, it happened to me this week. I mean, there's going to be times when your children are going to get sick, or you're going to have a car wreck, or something unexpected is going to happen, a financial blunder or a relationship problem or a job problem. It's going to come tonight. When expectation is up here and reality is down here and they don't meet up in the middle, frustration sets in. David said in Psalm 62 verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." So I'm going to give you some ways tonight on how to eliminate frustration, how to overcome it, how to get victory even in the midst of frustration. Number one, look at what they did here in chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then the prophets of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of God of Israel, even unto them." The Bible says they prophesied unto them. You know how to eliminate frustration tonight? I'll tell you how to do it. Number one, by the preaching of the words of God. I still believe tonight we need as much preaching as we can possibly get. You ought to listen to preaching, amen. You ought to read sermons. Every time that there's an opportunity to hear preaching, you ought to get under the sound of preaching. Why? Because preaching will encourage you. I'm talking about real, red hot, Bible, leather lung preaching, amen. You're blessed around here. You got Brother Fox and Brother Fox. If you don't like one, you can choose the other. But you know what? It don't matter, amen, which Brother Fox you like the most. You ought to be here every time Brother Fox is in the pulpit. Amen. It's not time to stay at home, amen. Hey, I'm not against counseling. You know, we live in a day where everybody wants to be counseled. I'm not necessarily against counseling, but I say this morning, you ought to get your counseling from the pulpit, amen? You can eliminate all this counseling if you'd come to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meetings, revival meetings, amen. Brother Jack Wood used to tell the young men there at Shady Acres that all counseling is of the devil. That's what he said. He didn't do it, amen? Because normally people that wanted to be counseled were people that never came to church. I mean, isn't it funny, the people that always are at church, they never need any counseling? Because they know what to do, amen? God speaks to them from the pulpit, amen? And they come down here and do business with God after they heard that word of God preached. Preaching cannot help you if you're not here. Are you listening? And it's the frustrated tonight that need preaching the most. But you know, sad to say, but usually it's the frustrated that'll stop coming to church. And they'll resist everything that the Lord is trying to do for them and speak to them during the preaching hour. The frustrated, you know what happens? They get critical. They get judgmental. And they even get resentful. They're trying to justify the difference between what they expected what they actually experienced. That's why tonight we need revivals. We need camp meetings. We need prayer meetings. Amen. We need to go to other meetings around the world. There's several meetings. Three years ago, I went to a meeting in Ukraine. Last year, I went to a meeting in Germany. In December, I'm going back to a meeting in Germany. Amen. And then we're going to get back on an airplane in February and go back to Germany for another camp meeting. We have a camp meeting in January. We have a camp meeting in August. Amen. We have a missions conference in October. I'm just saying we need all the preaching we can get. You got to be here, amen, to get some help. We need all the preaching that we can get tonight. And you're always making a mistake. Are you listening to me tonight? You are always, always, always missing God when you don't receive the preaching of the Word of God. If you refuse it, say, I'm not going. Amen. I'm not so naive tonight, narrow-minded, to understand that one of the hardest things that you'll ever do when you're frustrated is walk through the back doors of this church, the Bible under your arm. But you know, that may be the very thing that'll just salvage your life. Amen. Come in here all wounded, busted, battered, broke up, discouraged. Amen. Come crawling in here bleeding spiritually. Come, amen, through these church, and you don't want to be here because life has just let you down. Amen. Things didn't turn out the way you expected it. But oh, I say tonight, you ought to make an effort to be here even when you don't feel like being here. The preaching of the Word of God will help to eliminate frustration in your life. Because God will speak that Word into your heart, amen. And it won't be long until you're sitting there in that pew and boy, your head's held down and you think, Lord, I don't even want to be here. And somebody will say something, or a prayer will be prayed, or a song will be sung, or that Word of God will be opened up, amen. And that preacher will be preaching. He don't even know what he's preaching, but he's preaching right to you. And the Spirit of God will take that truth and weld it down in your heart, and it'll give you something that you had never dreamed that you'd have got when you came to church. Amen. That frustration leaves and you get some hope and some help from the words of God, the preaching and the Word of God. But then number two, look at chapter 5 right here back in our text. In verse number 2, I want to say this. Look at it. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Zozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. The second thing I see here tonight is that they were participating in the work of God. Not only the preaching of the words of God will help eliminate frustration, but participating in the work of God. Now, I understand tonight that there are times when we do need some R&R, some rest and relaxation. Some times when we may need to take a vacation or a sabbatical. But dropping out of the work of God permanently is never, I say tonight it's never the answer. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we faint, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 16 said, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Just stay right in here and do the work.